Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, who was the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the United States Department of State from 1991 to 2003, and is an emeritus professor at the University of Illinois, where he directs the program in South Asian and Middle East Studies. Dr. Weinbaum was a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace and held Fulbright Research Fellowships for Afghanistan and Egypt. He's authored numerous books, including The Future of Afghanistan. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum.
You're very welcome.
And clearly, this NATO strike that killed 24 Pakistani troops has this is you know, salt in the rubbing salt in the wound between this prickly relationship. My understanding was that U.S. The anti-Americanism in Pakistan was an all-time high prior to this. So what's your understanding of how the Pakistani people are reacting to this?
Well, our standing with the Pakistani people can't get much lower. It is probably in the single digits, so there's really nowhere for it to drop to. But what it does mean is that this incident, following on the heels of several others during the course of this year, going to make it just that much harder to get back to a working relationship with Pakistan, which is vital for the interests of both countries.
So they can't divorce, but they can what? Sort of sit in corners and seethe at each other? I mean, give me a picture of where this relationship is going.
Well, you know, we don't even know if it's hit bottom. Every time we think we've seen the bottom, we find that, no, it's not there yet. But each time it also, you know, becomes that much harder to find those common denominators on which we can agree. One thing is clear, that we don't have some of the illusions that we had earlier about trust and a forming a strategic partnership. Now it's all about you give us this, and we'll give you that. This is important for us because what we're talking about here is our concern with what happens in the next 3 years in Afghanistan, our ability to supply our troops through Pakistani land routes from the port of Karachi to two particular portals into Afghanistan in Pakistan. And we're going to need that. We have 50% dependency on that route. That can't be replaced. So our safe withdrawal from Afghanistan and the pursuit of our objectives there for the time being really are dependent. And then the other thing we need to do is to be able to take it to the enemy. And that's what we've used the drones. Well, they've not only cut off for the time being our supply route, blocked it, but they have they've asked us to remove what few troops we had left in one of their air bases. Actually, we can do without that, but it nevertheless may imply that we're going to have less in the way of intelligence sharing, and that could hurt us.
So, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, you're talking about how the Pakistanis have told the United States to vacate within 15 days the Shamsi Air Base.
That's correct.
I thought that they'd already gotten out of there.
Well, we had really moved most of our people out of there. There's just apparently a few left there now. So that's not really any kind of concession that we've made. We're able to operate the drones out in Afghanistan. But what we do need is we need intelligence sharing on the ground to be able to target. Some of this we can do just with surveillance, but there's nothing better than having the kind of intelligence that identifies where someone's going to be at a particular point in time, for example. That could be a real casualty here. Another casualty of all this is the impact on Pakistan. I say that our standing is pretty low, but it's as much as giving a. Unfortunately, we've given a gift to the extremist groups who will, you know, go running with this now, and they're likely to gain even more adherence as they bring home their case that we're, you know, we're our natural enemies of Pakistan, not partners. And eventually this can threaten the stability of the country.
Well, clearly the drones and this NATO attack are symptoms of a problem here that we don't have we don't have good intelligence. We have a strategy based upon our overwhelming air power, but it not necessarily applied in a way that does anything except have blowback. We've have a history here going back to September of 2010 when NATO helicopters killed two Pakistani soldiers. That created a two-week closure of the border.
Right.
And then you've got in April of this year, there was a protest over the drones, again, where the borders were closed for three days. And then he had the killing of bin Laden, which, and then Admiral Mike Mullins cut troops in Pakistan in June, and then the U.S. suspended in July $800 million in military aid. And then, of course, in September of this year, outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mullen, said that Pakistan was supporting the Haqqani Network, which is a virtual asset of Pakistani military.
That's quite a litany of thrusts at the relationship. But I would take issue with the fact that the drones haven't accomplished very much. Actually, they have. They not only have some high-value targets been taken out. Unfortunately, there's been innocent people along the way, but not nearly as many as some of the groups may claim. But it has disrupted some of the activities of the insurgents coming into Afghanistan, and it's hard to calculate just how important that is, but it is more difficult for them to operate on the Pakistan side. We need it because of the absence of the kind of pressure that we'd like to see from the Pakistan military on those elements like the Haqqani group and al-Qaeda. So we are left with a weapon which indeed it can be counterproductive, but at the same time, it's about all we have. And on balance, considering that we've already lost the population support in any event, there's probably an argument to be made, I think there is, for continuing the use of drones. Without that, we really have our hands tied as far as what's going on over across the border.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, who is the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the United States Department of State. But already, Dr. Weinbaum, Afghanistan has become a election issue. The Republican candidates have had a couple of national security debates where Afghanistan came up, and essentially the Obama has been accused of all kinds of things, but cutting and running is will be, of course, the latest one. It does seem that given the budget constraints and the need to cut the defense budget, already we're counting the withdrawal from Iraq as cost savings, even though the war itself wasn't on the books at any rate. And I take it that there's a tremendous investment in getting out. I don't think there's any doubt, is there, that the administration wants to get out?
Yes. We're committed, along with our allies, to a complete drawdown of military forces by the end of 2014. I don't think it can become a campaign issue for the simple reason that, you know, it's a good line to say cut and run. Nobody really finds that attractive behavior. But the fact is that the American public at this point in time doesn't support the war. And so Obama's withdrawal of forces now first from Iraq and as I say, in 3 years from Afghanistan, is generally approved by the American public. Therefore, I just don't believe that that's going to have much traction as a campaign issue, certainly not when the economy seems to be overriding everything else.
Well, clearly, though, all along, you know, we've talked about how this prickly relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan has had its not so much its ups and downs, but its downs and further downs, and now this one has really caused a kind of tremendous anger with the Army Chief General Ashraf Pervez Kayani leading the mourners in the funerals for these soldiers.
Yes.
I think that's a fairly significant
statement. This is a real blow to them. The military takes pride, obviously, in its forces, and the public takes pride in the military. And civilian casualties are going to be noted and so on. But when their armed forces and a fair number of people killed in the attack, that's a particularly hard blow for them. Like the raid on the bin Laden compound in Abbottabad in May, because it goes to the very question about whether the military can defend itself and whether it's there to whether it really deserves people's adulation as it has been getting, particularly lately.
Well, but all along, Pakistan has been ambivalent, to say the least, about what we're doing in Afghanistan. And there's no question, I think, that they do shelter the Haqqani network. That's considered some kind of asset on the part of the ISI. We've also got the Quetta Shura there in Pakistan with Mullah Omar. I think it's obvious that Pakistan is hedging its bets and wants to influence a post-NATO Afghanistan. So why don't we just accept that and get
it? Well, because, first of all, not only would it be unacceptable to us, because it would mean that we would see a resurrection of the Taliban regime, which it may in the long run be what happens.
Because what we've put together doesn't work, right?
If it doesn't work, that's right. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, that the consequences of that kind of outcome are not pretty ones. We're looking at the almost certainty of a civil war, one which will bring the neighboring countries in as as sponsors of their proxies in various parts of the country, the Iran in the West, the Russians and Central Asian republics in the North. India will get involved. Saudi Arabia may get involved. This is a nightmare for Pakistan. It certainly wants to avoid that, but that's likely to be the consequence of a return of Taliban, and we're talking here also about at least a couple of million refugees. So we've got a humanitarian crisis on our hands as well. The international community will, because Pakistan can't handle it alone. These are very serious. The effect on recruitment to terrorist organizations, I think, will be rather substantial. After all, they'll be able to crow that now they've defeated the United States just as they defeated the Soviet Union. It could have consequences for radicalization in the Gulf area, for one. But above all, it will have very likely a blowback on Pakistan itself. That is, the Pakistanis are fooling themselves if they think that the Afghans, who are, you know, the Afghan insurgents, are simply nationalists. They're Islamists. And their same mindset, their same set of beliefs, are like those of the Pakistani Taliban. So the fact that they have different agendas at the moment, the Pakistani Taliban, of course, trying to change the Pakistani state, and the Afghan Taliban trying to unseat the Kabul government, eventually their interests come together. And it would be, I think, rather foolish to expect that the Afghan Taliban, having taken power in Kabul, are now going to say, well, this is all we're really interested in. We don't care whether there's an Islamic government, a real Islamic government in Pakistan or not. No. So in the 90s, that insurgency in Pakistan didn't exist, but now it does. And I think that the Pakistanis are aware of this and really don't want to see a complete Taliban victory in Afghanistan. Maybe at one point they did, but they know they can't control them. And what they would like to see is a kind of political arrangement which they have orchestrated, which puts the Taliban in power in Kabul in a coalition with other forces, which they would hope would then tame it and keep it from adopting a broader agenda outside the country, a more ambitious agenda. This is really what they're aiming for. They don't really expect or want a clear Taliban victory.
Well, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're very welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, who is a former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the United States Department of State from 1991 to 2003. He's an emeritus professor at the University of Illinois, where he directs the program in South Asian and Middle East Studies, and was a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace and held Fulbright Research Fellowships for Afghanistan and Egypt, and authored a number of books, including The Future of Afghanistan. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the impending closure of the Occupy LA encampment.
Oh, I do believe if you don't like things you leave for some place.